So it's Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 28. Does that sound about right? Wonderful. It can be found on page 1210. And the Bibles, I was going to say in your pews, but we don't have pews, chairs. And your Bibles from the trolley. 1210, Hebrews 11, starting at verse 24, just 24 to 28. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. George is going to come and share with us.
Okay, should we just pray together first? Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it is life to us, that it's food to our souls. Father, we pray that as we look at your word now, that your words would become real to us, that they would go deep, and that they would produce fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, if we can have the first slide up, that would be grand. Otherwise, I'm lost. Sorry. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay, so we've been looking at a series over the last few weeks about faith, and we've been looking through chapter 11 of Hebrews. We've looked at Noah, and we've looked at Abraham, and Amy looked at Abraham and Sarah last week, and this week we're going to be looking at Moses. And as I was preparing this, a lot of people said to me, oh, Moses is my favourite character in the whole Bible. Simon's just said, he's my hero. And I'm slightly worried because I'm setting myself up for a fall now, but actually I don't want to set Moses up as a hero. I know, shock horror. Because, yes, he is a hero of faith. Yes, he was the father of a nation. Yes, he is worshipped as a prophet by numerous faiths. Actually, I found out four faiths consider Moses to be a really important prophet, not just Islam and Judaism and Christianity, but also the Baha'i faith, apparently. Not that I know very much about it. But he is a really, really important character, both in the Jewish faith and in our faiths. But what I actually want to do is not to think so much about how amazing Moses is, because I think what happens is when we look at these heroes of faith and we look at them up here and we think, well, my faith is somewhere down there, that's not going to grow our faith. And what we need to see is that Moses was nothing special. I'm probably going to get struck down for that, aren't I? Moses, but I am going to say it again, was nothing special. We're going to read that passage again because I've highlighted a few odds and ends that I want us to focus on as we read it. So I'm just going to read it through because it's not very long. So if you've got it open, we're going to read it through again. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He chose. Those of you that know the story of Moses well will know that he had a rather miraculous upbringing. His parents saved him from certain death as a baby. They were slaves in Egypt. The Israelites had been enslaved by the Egyptian pharaohs. and were working there as slaves, but they got out of hand. The numbers of Israelites had grown dramatically, and the Pharaoh was very nervous about this, worried about rebellion, and so he made an edict that all the newborn baby boys should be killed. And when Moses was born, his parents hid him. And as you know, they put him in the bulrushes in a little basket. And he was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter and brought up in the Egyptian royal house. He had an amazingly privileged upbringing. Wealth at his disposal, education, the lap of luxury. But he makes a choice as an adult. He chooses instead to go into the wilderness with a motley crew of grumbling, miserable Israelites, and he spends 40 years with them wandering around in the desert. Now, given the choice, royal palace, desert, tents, I know which one I would choose. I know which one I prefer. But he chooses. He makes a choice. And faith, I think, is a choice. Sometimes we think it's just this sort of nebulous feeling that we have, that we have faith. Maybe you don't think you have much faith. Maybe you think you have no faith. But faith is often a choice. We need it's a stepping out. It's not a blind stepping out, but there are choices we have to make. And it may be you already know that God's asking you to make a certain choice. And you may already feel a stirring that God is asking you to make a choice. And for Moses, that choice was to turn his back on wealth and privilege and to identify with the people of Israel. Let's go on. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. So why does he make that choice? Now, he can't possibly have known all the details about Christ. Yes, he's a prophet. Yes, he was close to God and he met with God face to face. But he can't possibly have known in detail what was going to happen when Jesus came to earth, when Jesus died. And yet he looks ahead in his spirit to a greater thing, to a greater time. And that's what makes him make that choice. Sometimes we're going to make difficult choices. Sometimes God is calling us to make difficult choices in our lives. And sometimes the thing that's going to keep us going is that looking ahead and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Paul talks about straining towards what is ahead in Philippians. It's that reaching forward to what God has for us, for our goal of our faith. And sometimes we get so consumed with the now that we don't see that future. Let's read on. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He persevered. And faith is not easy. It takes perseverance. There will be times when it's really hard to keep going. And yet, in perseverance, we will grow as Christians. James talks about considering it all joy when our faith is tested. That seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? To be joyous, to rejoice about being tested. But why do we rejoice? Because it produces mature Christians. It helps us to sink our roots deep into God and to grow. And finally, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And of course, the Passover reminds us of the blood. It reminds us of what we're going to celebrate at communion, that Jesus shed his blood for our forgiveness. I think it reminds me that when we fall down, when we don't achieve that perseverance, when we don't always make the right choices in our faith, when we confess our sins as we've just done, Jesus is there to scoop us up into his arms and take us forward again. I want to look a little bit at Moses, and I want you to imagine that Moses has a CV. Now, I know he didn't have a CV. He was alive 3,000, 3,500 years ago. They didn't tend to do things like that, not even on their scrolls. But he's taken on a job. It's quite an important job. It's a job of the leader of a nation. So it's sort of like being prime minister or president. And I want us to look at what his credentials are for that position. Now, obviously, I haven't chosen everything. Obviously, he was brought up in a royal family. He was well educated. But let's look at some of the things. And this is really important for those of us that are getting on in years. He was 80 when he was called. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm heading that way, or I've already got that way, God hasn't finished with you yet. He only started with Moses when he was 80. He hasn't finished with you yet. God can call us at any time of our life. So don't write yourself off. God has something for you. So he's an OAP, so that would write him off completely in our society already. That would be it. He's got a criminal record. He's a murderer. Those of you that know the story will know that he sees an Egyptian guard maltreating one of the Israelite slaves, and he's completely incensed, and he beats this man to death. He hides the body. Okay, not looking so good for him at the moment, is it? Sorry. He then runs away. He runs away from Egypt and he ends up in the country of Midian. So he's a fugitive. He's on the run. Gets a job. He's a migrant worker. Marries a local girl. Starts working for his father-in-law, Jethro. He's a manual labourer. He's a shepherd. Works in the deserts. He doesn't like public speaking. In fact, it terrifies him. So there's Moses. That's our hero of faith. That's our leader of the nation. And I hope what I've done there is not to make you think, oh, but Moses, he was my hero. He's still my hero. I think he's brilliant. But I want us to realise that he was nothing special. And that the special one in all this is God. And so for those of us that have written ourselves off and said, God can't use me. I can't speak up the front. I'm too old. Not educated enough. God says, hey, don't write yourself off. Let me decide how I want to use you. Let me be the choice in that. Can we have the next one, Nick? Thank you. So I want to take us to Moses' calling. Now, if you've got your Bibles there, you can have a look at Exodus chapter 3. If you've got your church Bibles, it's on page 59. Page 59 in your church Bibles. And I'm going to skip about a bit, but obviously if you want to read it and sort of phase in and out. So Moses is out in the desert. He's tending the flock, doing his job. And he sees this bush burning. And it's an odd thing because the bush is not shriveling up. And he goes over to take a look. And in verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, Moses called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And that's all that God wants us to say. Here I am. And often that's our first step in faith. Here I am. Here I am. Use me. Isaiah says it to God. Here I am. Send me. So if you're thinking, I really want God to use me, just come to him. Here I am. It doesn't finish there, of course. So God tells him that great, he wants to use him. And what he's going to do is he's going to lead his people out of Egypt and to the promised land. You can imagine Moses' head going round and thinking, well, it's not what I meant. I am here, but actually I'm not sure I'm up for that. And so Moses says in verse 11, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Now, if we had been in this situation, we'd have probably said, oh, you're fine, you're really good. I know you can do this. God doesn't do that. He doesn't reassure him. He doesn't say, you'll be brilliant, it'll all be great. No, this is what he says. In verse 12, he says, I will be with you. So for those of us that so often feel inadequate and feel we can't do stuff, who am I to do that? Who am I to tell other people about my faith? Who am I to lead a Bible study? If God's calling you to do something, he's going to equip you. He's going to be with you. And that's all we need to know, that he's going to be with us. Faith looks up and not in. If we keep looking at our inadequacies, then we're never going to be able to develop and deepen our faith. We've got to keep our eyes on God and who he is and who he says he is. Now, God does go on to say who he is. He says, I am. I am. I am who I am. I am Yahweh, Jehovah. And he tells Moses to tell the Israelites that he's the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I want to think about what our faith rests on. Now, when God introduced himself as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he's saying he's the God of our past. And sometimes, if our faith is dwindling, we're struggling a bit, it's good to look back at our past and be reminded of God's faithfulness to us. I was thinking about that and thinking about some things in my life where I've seen God be faithful and gracious to me. I'll give you a couple of examples. I look back to, I had 13 years of chronic back pain. I was off work for many of them and on really strong painkillers for a long, long time to control that. And then one day God said to me, and it was the clearest I've ever heard God, wasn't quite a burning bush experience, but it was really clear. And God said to me, I'm healing your back. And I don't recommend this to everybody, but because it was really clear to me at the time, and if we've got any doctors in the house, I apologize now. I felt God say to me, stop taking all your drugs. Now, some of these drugs were quite addictive. I'd been told I'd be on them forever, so there wasn't much point. It didn't matter that they were addictive because I was always going to be on them. And so I stopped taking them, and I've never looked back, and God healed me, and I am fit and well and healthy. And I can always look back at that and remind myself of God's faithfulness. More recently, many of you will know that my dad had a heart attack. He died, essentially, for 5 or 10 minutes. and when that was then resuscitated. We were told, you know, if he ever regained consciousness, he would have problems, either physical or mental problems. And if you, those of you that know my dad will know, but there's nothing wrong with my dad now. We prayed that God would heal him and make him whole, and he is whole and with us today. And so I can look back at instances in my past and say, God was faithful. So if you're wobbling at the moment, look back either to your own experiences or maybe ask friends for their experiences of faith. If you're a new Christian, you might not have. I've been a Christian for many, many years, so I can think back to many instances where God has been faithful to me. But if you're a new Christian, ask others, read Christian testimonies, read biographies. It's so encouraging to our faith to be able to do that. But he's not just the God of the past. We can't rely wholly on the things that God has done in the past. He's the God of the present as well. It says in Isaiah 43, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." And God wants to do new things with us. He wants us to be making new choices in our faith. And so God sometimes asks us to do things. Recently, I felt very strongly God calling me out of my job. It was a difficult decision. I'd been a teacher for 13 years. Well, in fact, I'd been a teacher for a lot longer than that, but I'd been working in this particular school for 13 years. It was a difficult decision. It was a very secure job and financially paid well. And I didn't know what God was calling me to. But I had the faith to know that God would look after me. And he has. And 6 months on, we're fine financially. And I'm feeling very blessed that God has looked after me and is using me and developing me in ways I never thought possible. So I want to encourage you that if there are things that God's calling you to, God will hold you. It may be difficult at first. I can tell you there have been a few months when we thought, oh, this is going to be tight. But God looks after you. And again, he's the God of our future. And we need to look to the future as well. We need to be reminded in God's word of what we are, what our faith is about. And it's about knowing Christ's riches. It's about our heavenly dwelling as well. What I love about Moses' story is Moses looked forward to a time that he couldn't possibly have really grasped 3,000 odd years ago. But I love that at the Transfiguration, Moses gets to have a chat with Jesus. And that must have been incredibly special. That Moses gets to chat to Jesus. Perhaps they've been chatting before, I don't know. But he comes down to earth with Elijah and they have a chat together. And that must have been very special. So, quick conscious of the time. Nick, if we can have the next, thank you. Just a few things to think about, because I want us to think about how can we be that hero of faith. Not for the glory of it, not that so people write about us, but that we can be all that God wants us to be. Well, they make choices, and they choose to follow God rather than their own desires. And that doesn't mean that sometimes those are in line, sometimes they're the same thing. But sometimes it means turning away from something and turning to God. They walk in that faith on a day-to-day basis. You can't just go, right, that's it. I've done that faith bit. I can get on with the rest of my life. It is a daily walking in that. Sometimes they're misunderstood. I can't tell you the number of people that said to me when I stopped taking my pills, "Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's a very dangerous thing." And yes, in the natural it is. And the number of people that were horrified that I'd given up my job. Yeah, in the natural, it's a bizarre thing to do, particularly in the current economic climate. Why would you do that? And it's interesting that often the people that will misunderstand you are other Christians. It's often people that aren't Christians go, yeah, go for it. Yes, you might be misunderstood. But if God is calling and you're sure and you've prayed it through and you've prayed it through with other Christians and you've checked with God's word, then go for it. Step out in that. We often have a different set of values to the world around you. You won't necessarily value status or wealth. They're people that persevere when their faith is tested, as we've said. And they take encouragement from God's faithfulness in the past. So I'm going to stop talking there. And I'm going to pass it over. So we usually have this discussion. So for those of you that are new to this, please don't feel under pressure. Do as much discussion or as little discussion as you want to. But it would be good, wouldn't it, to just hear from one another some encouragement. So if you're sat, wherever you're sat, if you turn to someone, it would be good to share something in your past where you've seen God's faithfulness to encourage one another. It might be that you feel God stirring you at this moment and you feel that God is asking you to make a step. Maybe your very first step of faith. Maybe he's asking that of you and you're feeling that pull. Maybe it's a different direction that you know God's calling you to. Ask people to pray for that if you want to. And also, let's look to the future as well. Maybe we can share some verses that are encouraging from God's word to one another. So we're just going to give you about 5 or 10 minutes. I'm looking at Amy, yeah. To just share those things and encourage. And if you want to pray together, then please do.